Welcome to episode 170 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Laura, Sandy, Donna, and Elizabeth. We've talked about the Norwegian Cruise Lines a few times now over the course of our 170 episodes, specifically The Getaway, twice, and The Epic. This past holiday season, Elizabeth and her family experienced the newest ship in the Norwegian family. Well, for a few months, it's the newest. The Norwegian Escape. So tonight, we thought we would talk to her about her thoughts and impressions of this ship and what it has to offer. So, Elizabeth, what did you think? What were the big differences?
There aren't very many big differences between the Getaway and the Breakaway and the Escape. They're all very similar. The Epic, I think, is a little different, although I have to admit I only did a ship inspection of that. So the Epic's pretty different, though, right?
The Epic is in its own class. I think the Getaway and Breakaway are the same class.
Same class, right? Yeah. And honestly, I didn't realize it was exactly the same until I got on it, because I hadn't paid that much attention. Mm-hmm. So I stepped on it. I was like, oh, I've been on this ship before.
The Epic does feel like that. The Epic has like a weird outside look to it. You know, like the shape of the ship is weird.
So it's actually, well, that was designed by the French too. The other ones were all Italian made, I think. Yeah. So and it's a big difference. But anyway, it's got the waterfront, and it's got the 6-7-8 atrium that Norwegian has sort of made their big thing.
Distributes the casino smoke.
Yes, it distributes the casino smoke. Although I did notice there were a lot of non-smoking areas in the casino this time. So there was still smoking, but there were plenty of places where there was less smoke and no smoking. So, because obviously you could put up a no smoking sign, but the smoke goes where it will. So, but still there was enough that, that I noticed a difference for sure. Maybe the filtration system is better too, but
that was something they could definitely improve on.
It wasn't so bad. Yeah. So, for the most part, if you've sailed on the Getaway or the Breakaway, you'd be very much at home on this ship. There's just a couple places where you would come around the corner and go, oh, that's different. You know, they have a different restaurant or slightly different theme. This one has a Margaritaville on deck. For the sake of research, was really intending to go, but it's a specialty restaurant. Even at lunch, you pay like $16 for lunch, and I just couldn't justify it ever.
So you didn't get the dining package?
I did, but we used it on better restaurants. I was like, I can go to Margaritaville anywhere. And I mean, part of me was really curious. I'm like, is it the same? Is it like, do they, you know, bring on the frozen shrimp and the frozen mozzarella sticks and all this stuff? But, you know, or is it made fresh? And I honestly don't know.
Margaritaville to you 10 million
yeah,
times.
Well, the music was absolutely playing. I mean, it was definitely a Margaritaville feel. There was nothing about it that said, this isn't a real Margaritaville. It definitely was. And it seemed like a really fun place to hang out. But the one thing that I love about Norwegian is they have all these bars that have very different feels to them. And there's one that is sort of my place. On this ship, there's two. But on the Getaway, I was there a lot. There's that one that's right across from the Italian. One across from the Italian restaurant. I just love that. And I don't know why, but I do. It's my jam. I mean, it's a whiskey bar, so
it looks like a library.
Yeah. And I mean, it's near the cigar room, which is not my thing. But I did find myself there quite a bit. But this ship.
What's the thing about Elizabeth?
It's actually called, it's named after a Miami bar. Gosh, I don't have my notes with me. It's on deck 7, 8, 8, deck 8. I can't remember. It's named after a famous Miami bar on this ship. It's a sundowner on the Getaway, I think. But it's a different, I'm sorry. It would take me a little while to find it. It's more of like a, it's like a gentleman's, that's the wrong word. The old form of gentleman's club, not a stripper bar, but the old form of gentleman's club place where, you know, where
like a cigar bar.
Yeah, like a cigar bar or like an adventurer's club, except without all the cool, you know,
the adventure
trinkets. Yeah, exactly.
Side note, they had adventurers cast members as a character stop during the marathon.
Oh, that's cool.
That was cool. That Sorry.
Is cool. I'm really regretting that.
But I did not. I did not
what
spend.
Did you say, Shane? I couldn't hear that.
It was. It's unrelated to this podcast. It's not appearing in this movie. It was about Marathon Weekend. But this on this ship, there is a bar that I actually spent more time in than the whatever the Sundowners is called on this ship. And it's the District. And that's probably why I don't know the name of the other one, because I wasn't there often enough to memorize it. But the District is the brew pub on board. And I to say that I was skeptical is like a minimizing it, because beer is usually not done well on cruise ships, and I just could not imagine. I saw myself going into what is normally on a cruise ship, it's their Irish pub, where they serve like two kinds of cider, and then, you know, Boddington's and Guinness and a few others, and then there's nothing else. But they actually had an extensive beer list that included ABV beers that were like 10-11%.
Oh God.
They had stouts and porters. They had a lot of Miami beer, both from, what's the brewery? I know from MIA, which is one Miami brewery, but the other one that they cooperate with.
The one where they have the murals.
Yes. We were just talking about it too. It'll come
to
me.
It's not like Winston or something.
Well, it's Wynwood.
Okay.
Wynwood Brewing. So they had a pretty extensive list from both of those breweries. They had a Funky Buddha, which is also a Miami brewing company.
So they're using local brews from like the Miami
area. Yes, which is where you get on the ship. Yeah. So, which is interesting too, because the Getaway is themed after Miami. Like the mural is painted by Jeff Lebo, who's a big Miami artist. And, but they didn't have as many Miami beers as this ship does. They really upped their game, and they had kettles on board. Like
they
when you walk
their,
into the,
their local game.
When you walk into the District, they're actually brewing beer. There's like,
they're brewing beer on the ship.
Yeah. I'm not very good at judging the different sizes, but I want to say maybe fifth, they're small, kettles, but like 15 barrels or whatever they are. So decent size, not your, you know, huge ones, but yeah.
It seems like it would be such a great concept for cruise line, because they have access to so many different, you know, different ports. You can get different ingredients from different places, and it seems like it would be such a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they did.
Yeah, it is good. And you can get pub food, like after 5 o'clock, they have a few appetizers, including goat cheese stuffed dates wrapped with bacon, which is actually something that's at a diner here, that the Remedy Diner downtown that Chris really loves. He said they weren't as good on the ship, but still, that's pretty cool. And they have mozzarella sticks and wings. And so, and it's at a minimal charge. Like, you can get an order of mozzarella sticks, like what you would get in a, you know, any sort of neighborhood bar for like $2.50, you know, it's like a minimal upcharge. So
I would much rather pay that and do that than pay $16 for a month.
Exactly. That was exactly my logic. I'm like, I could try all these beers, or I could go to Margaritaville.
So are the beers included in the drink package?
In the drink package, yes. There was not, I didn't run into a single beer that I wasn't able to order on the drink package. So even, and none, there were none like that were like super high. I want to say the highest one was like 10.5. So I might have made up the 11 thing, but
10.5
is still really high. Yeah.
So just for our viewers, info.
We don't have any viewers. We have listeners.
Our listeners. Yeah, by the way, we should be putting this on YouTube.
We're all like, no viewing.
Norwegian for like about 2 years now, or maybe a year and a half, has pretty much standard had the drink package as one of their perks that you can pick. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty inclusive. I love mm-hmm. that about Norwegian.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really like having the drink package when I go on a cruise.
Yep.
So it's pretty standard. If you want it, that's one of the perks you can pick. So,
and we did that. And a nice thing is now there are no cruise lines that let different people in the cabin get different drink packages.
Mm-hmm.
My husband will drink ciders, but that's about it. He'll have a glass of wine or something if the mood strikes, but a drink package is really wasted on him. But when it's a free perk, then it's super easy, and then I can have it and drink all I want. So,
yeah.
and then some. So, but I honestly don't drink that much anymore on cruise ships. I don't know why. So
because
I guess
you're
just,
not with
I
me.
I know. I guess I'm just getting older. I did have quite a bit of beer.
Elizabeth, is the name of that bar Oceans?
No, O'Sheehan's is more of a it's more of a British pub. Yeah. And actually, for those present who went on the getaway, I think you guys remember we experienced O'Sheehan's, and it was kind of bad. The food and the service was really slow.
Yeah, the food was.
We ate in O'Sheehan's every morning for breakfast, and it was fantastic. It wasn't crowded. It was, I mean, there wasn't a wide selection. There were like four things, but what do you have for breakfast? So there was like an omelet, or you could get eggs your way, or I think you could get maybe French toast. You couldn't get pancakes, which the kids sort of griped about. And then there was maybe, oh, and then maybe Eggs Benedict or something, like some special egg.
That's
thing.
What I eat every day.
Yeah. And so, and there were, and we never had to wait in line. You know, it was always really easy to get in. So yeah, I don't know if this changed on all the ships, but it definitely was better fare than before.
Isn't it funny how you have like those fancy, I mean, everybody has those fancy things that you only do on a cruise ship, and that I do that too, Sandy. I eat Eggs Benedict.
I know, I do. I like it every single day. I'm like, ooh. I even go to the restaurant, so it's like fresher than the buffet, but yeah, they didn't have it on Princess. I looked for it.
So now in typical fashion,
the other one looks like a Gentleman's Bar's Tobacco Rogue.
Yes, that's it. That's it. I should have remembered that because I remember the first time I looked at it, I was like, oh, is it named after North Carolina? But yeah, it's a famous Miami bar.
I feel like you mentioned it. Or like you said something
about it
on Facebook.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Laura. That's what it's called. Yeah, Tobacco Road.
I feel like, so in the notes you had Brew Pup, and I was really excited about it.
I'm afraid not. Yeah, that's just a typo. Actually, it's probably an autocorrect.
So, what is this food? Tell me about the Food Republic. Tell us about that.
So there's a few restaurants that are totally unique to the Escape, and Food Republic is one. And I'm going to forget this guy's name, so I'm going to look it up.
This is one of those local Miami chefs, right?
Yeah, they partnered with Pub Belly Restaurant Group, which so it's Chef Jose Menden or Menden maybe. It's a Mexican name, I believe. You order, so basically you walk in and sit at a table. There's an iPad in front of you, so it looks like, you know, Newark Airport. Okay. And so I sat down and I was very skeptical, and I must have had 60 people tell me, you have to eat here, you have to eat, you know, go. And so we did, and it doesn't take the dining plan, so we had to spend money on it. Mm-hmm. But it's basically tapas. But when I say tapas, I mean sushi, and then like they had Korean chicken wings and meatballs. Ooh. And like they had like a really wide variety. And apparently it does actually change out sometimes as well. We could order, it was sort of family style, tapas style eating. And we took the kids. Marcus was skeptical the whole time, but Athena loved it. My daughter just absolutely loved it. She liked the variety. She liked the sushi was really good, which is always one of my, I try to try sushi on cruise ships just to see. Mm-hmm. And it was really tasty, but it is definitely a pay by the, you know, whatever you order, you pay for it. They will, because it's on the iPad, you can sort of order as you go. So you can order one thing and then order another and then order another. So, it was a really unique experience. It's not very big. But I didn't notice a line forming at all. We got there pretty early. And I mean, there were still lots of tables. So we were like first seating, if you will, you know, just after they opened. I think they opened at like 5 or 5:30, and we were doing that, you know, Black Friday thing where we had our hands pressed up against the door waiting to get in.
So what are the prices like? Are they?
That was expensive. I, you know, off the top, it was a few weeks ago now. So, but I would say between 10, I mean, it was like, it was a regular restaurant. Okay. So $10 to $20. Yeah, no, not like the $2.50 mozzarella sticks. Okay. Yeah, no, it was, and again, it doesn't take the dining plan. So you sort of have to,
suck it up
and experience it. Yeah. So, and there was like, there were 2 days, I think. It might have been the days at sea. I don't know where it was open for lunch. I missed both those seatings. You know, I wasn't paying attention, and then they were gone.
Can you reserve it?
No. Okay. No. Or if we didn't. So maybe you can. But it seems way more casual than that. I think it really is designed to be sort of a, are you hungry? Come on in kind of place. But the food was beautifully presented, and it was casual, and I noticed this is the other giveaway. I noticed a lot of the ship's officers eating in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, whenever you see the ship's officers, you know that it's good.
So you cruised Christmas week. Did the ship feel really crowded?
At times, yeah. We ended up not tendering into the private island because we took one look at the crowd forming to get on the tenders, and we were like, nope.
See, that day I was really hungover, and I took one of the last tenders, so it wasn't that bad.
We probably could have gone out. The thing is, I'm not much of a beach person anyway, and as much as I wanted to see it, none of us really wanted to go to the beach. We all want to sit by the pool. Mm-hmm. And so as we watched the entire ship cramming onto these tenders, we were like, hey, I bet the pool deck's empty. So that was sort of our logic. I mean, we looked at the lines and thought, I do not want to stand in that. And then we looked at the pool deck and said, oh, this is actually not bad.
That's cool.
And that actually leads to I think the biggest fault of the escape, which is and Marcus actually mentioned this I think on our episode where he talked about the different cruise lines, the main pool is adult only.
Oh, right.
And, or at least in theory, Norwegian doesn't really seem to enforce it very much. I'm sure if you had a kid just going wild in it, then they would kick him out. But in general, people, and we actually ended up bringing our kid into the hot tub because there was no other hot tub. There were no family hot tubs. It was just the two by the adult only pool. So as long as it was mostly empty or whatever, and we told the kids, you know, there's no splashing, there's no trying to drown each other. This is just sit and warm up. And then, but the kids' pool is really small, and it's basically, it seems to be that they located it there because it's at the base of one of the water slides, which totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. But it meant that there were like hardly any deck chairs that you could pull right up to it. There were more chairs around like the splash zone, so if you had a toddler or something, you could watch them. But you know, if you're putting your kid in the pool, there's no lifeguard, and there's like maybe 20 deck chairs where you can easily see the pool. And then everything else is set back. So it wasn't really very family friendly in that. And I'm not saying Norwegian isn't family friendly, but from a pool perspective.
So it seems like it's more geared towards bigger kids who can swim and you don't have to watch them and would be doing the big water slides.
Yep. I would say that Norwegian really does seem to cater to like teen and up kind of crowd.
I wonder if they expect the younger ones just to be in the kids' clubs.
I think so.
In the splash zone, maybe.
Yeah, in the splash zone. And I do, I mean, the tweens definitely, and you know, my kids were on the water slides a lot, but there were four water slides. Mm-hmm. And two of them were that kind that like the bottom drops out from under you. So Marcus did that twice and then he was done. He was like, no more of that. So he did the other two slides like 60 million times, but one of them was really fun and really fast. The other one was kind of a slow slide. And it took you back down to that like family pool, if you will, which was really more of a kid's pool. So there were a lot of adult only areas on this ship, which as an adult, I would have appreciated had I not been. Yeah, exactly. So I really do feel like it caters to older kids and up.
I think, yeah, with their, like, drink package promo and stuff, I do think they're going for, like, the adult groups and things like that, which worked well for me on my anniversary cruise.
And I don't know if it was the one I was on or, you know, the Christmas week, but I have never been on such a fit cruise in my life. Like, it looked like marathon weekend at Walt Disney World. I was like, is everybody on this ship a runner? And in fact, as I was going to the spa to make an appointment for the spa to get a massage, because that's what you go to the spa for, all of the gym equipment was being used. All of it. There were no free machines. Every single weight machine, I looked around. I was like, where is an open machine? Not that I want to use it. I just want to make, it was insane. Wow. It was insane. And as far as I could tell, there might've been a class going on then. And by class, I mean the personal trainer was there. So I think you could get assistance. So it was on the schedule as a time to go to the gym. But still, I have never, ever on a cruise ship, and I've been on a lot of cruise ships, I have never seen the gym full. To capacity. Well,
I've never seen one either.
Ever.
And usually the only people in the gym are the employees.
Yeah. And then there's like two people who are probably training for a marathon who are trying to keep up their runs. Yeah, I mean, there's like, but there were people like lifting like serious CrossFit kind of, you know, huge weights and stuff. In fact, I was kind of surprised they put that much weight on a cruise ship. I'm like, does that not go through the floor? But it was astonishing. So yeah, definitely.
The floors are reinforced.
Clearly. I was.
Do you think it has anything to do with Christmas week and maybe doing New Year's resolutions?
I mean, it could be, but I've sailed at Christmas before on different cruise ships, and
maybe there was like a fitness convention going on or something.
I mean, I definitely think it was related to the fact that there was a class going on, because there were other times that I walked through and it was a little bit more sparse, but there was usually. Sorry, my dog's barking. There was usually somebody in there. I mean, it was definitely being used more so than most other cruise lines I've been on. You know, I've walked through the gym on Disney Cruise Line, and there is, I mean, you could hear crickets. There's nothing going on in there. So I was a little surprised.
Yeah. Brand new equipment with the plastic still on.
Yeah, exactly. It still has that new
equipment. I always tour the gym, but it's usually the first day. I mean, I've only actually done a treadmill on a cruise once, and it was not, like, the ship was moving a little bit. It wasn't even, like, rocking, really, but I didn't like it, so I'd much prefer to do the deck, you know, like the little loop on the back that you can do.
And the loop on the deck.
Yeah.
The one machine that I did find that was available was an elliptical, and I'm like, of course, because you can just walk the stairs. I mean, you have to walk the stairs so much on a cruise line anyway. Yeah. Why would you do the elliptical? But it was.
I'm gonna have to make a point next time, maybe when we're on the connection.
I don't know. You only have 7 days, and they have so much to do in the spa.
Yeah, it's far more worthwhile.
Why would you bother with the treadmills? Yeah.
How was your massage, Elizabeth? I love Norwegian spas.
So. Yeah, it was really nice. And I will admit, I didn't get to enjoy, like, they have a salt room and a snow room and all that stuff. I didn't go do that. Honestly, there were parts of the ship as we were disembarking. I don't know if you guys remember, but off of O'Sheehan's, on the side that isn't the restaurant side but the bar side, around the corner, there's like a bowling alley and air hockey. That's how you actually direct you through there to exit the ship. Mm-hmm. And we walked through it, and my son was like, "What? They had bowling on this ship?" He was so mad. He was like, "Why didn't you tell us?" I was like, "Well, it's usually crowded, and you know how I am."
Yeah, you could have walked through it.
Yeah, I was like, "You're the
game
room,
right? Is he banned from the game room?"
Well, we did sort of tell them to stay away from the machines, the arcade. So, So there were corners of the ship that we really did not spend much or any time in, for sure.
So I have a question. Is there like a signature dining show, like there is? Like on the Getaway, we did that kind of magic show.
The Illusionarium.
Yeah, and there's a really cool like Circus Spiegels, Circus Tent one on the Epic. Mm-hmm. Is there something like that?
Yeah, it's called the Supper Club. It's in the same space that is. And it looks like an old supper club. And that is where we saw the Flyboys, which was that sort of pseudo a cappella foursome, you know, four tenors that Marcus talked about on our previous episode a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And they had some of the members of, so the Broadway show on this particular ship is the Cotton Club, which is, I'm sorry, it's not called the Cotton Club. It's called After Midnight, but it's a Cotton Club era, you know, review basically. So they had some very talented people from who have been on Broadway in the show. Well, those, because of the way they rotate their shows, that show only shows like two nights. So on the other nights, some of the cast members did cabarets in that venue. So you could see, you know, so the same nights that After Midnight was showing was when the Flyboys were in the Supper Club, and then it sort of switched out and the Brat Pack moved into the theater. And so these cabaret, basically they took their, they brought their individual solo shows on board and did those in the cabaret setting. So, but the Supper Club was really, I was worried because it's a fixed menu and you get what you get. And there's no choices. Yes. You can't specify, you know, know this, know that. And Marcus ate all of it except for the shrimp. He doesn't eat shrimp. They did not go wasted, though. That's why it's good to be the mother of a child who does not like shrimp. But the desserts were really good. It was a little sampler dessert, like three little desserts, kind of like the wave at Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. Where they give you three little tasters. And it was unobtrusive to the performance, believe it or not. I was surprised. And they're obviously very used to people eating during the performance. So it's sort of a dinner theater-esque, you know, music show. So no magic, no tricks or anything. But
did you get a discount for having the dining package?
It was complimentary.
Oh, wow.
It's a complimentary experience. Because there's no, like, it's singing. I mean, it's not, not that singing isn't special, but it's the same thing that you could find in a lounge or whatever. Just
so
maybe
that's different.
Different setting.
That's
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the food wasn't extra special, extraordinary. It was like chicken and like grilled chicken and grilled shrimp as your entree. And the appetizer was some sort of salad, I think. And then the desserts were, it was nothing that you probably wouldn't get in the dining room. So I didn't feel like we got a bargain, but yeah, it was nice that it was complimentary. Yeah. You do have to reserve it. And the tables are sort of first come. They don't, you know, you are assigned a table when you show up. So your whole party needs to arrive together.
That's a good thing to remember about Norwegian or any cruise, really. But you can book your shows in advance, even though they're complimentary. You want to reserve your spot. make sure you get to see them.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and we actually, because I'm my own worst travel agent, we reserved our dining very late. So the shows we actually mostly reserved on board. We weren't sure how many we were going to do. I wasn't sure the kids would enjoy after midnight. And we didn't know, and we also, well, because of my poor planning, we didn't know what time we were going to be eating. And like the first night we got on board, the only dining time I could find was 9 p.m. Now we could have gone to the dining room, but I wanted to try the steakhouse. So, and the only night I could find it for four people was the first night on board, and it was at 9 p.m. It was fine. The food was good, but my kids are used to, they can eat late. So it was all right. We snacked and, you know, I have older kids, so it was okay. But then I had a lot of trouble finding anything else. So the other two places we ate at Bayamo, which is, the equivalent, what is it called? Ocean Blue or whatever on the Getaway. You can use the dining plan, but it doesn't really cover it. You still pay. It's like a 20% discount off of the cover charge. So we basically were paying for that, even though we were technically using our dining plan, you had to pay extra. It was very good that the service was amazing. And we ate at the Italian restaurant was our Christmas Eve meal. And then Bayamo was actually our Christmas meal. And then I made a reservation at the only other place I could find a spot for, which is the Churrasquia or something. It's basically the Brazilian steakhouse. Mm-hmm. So we had so much meat.
Yeah. We did that the first night of ours. Yeah.
We started with a steakhouse and we finished with a Brazilian steakhouse. So, but I will say we got to eat on the waterfront twice, which I had not yet been able to experience on Norwegian, where I could sit outside. And I realized a couple of things. I realized that the ship is orchestrated to allow you to dine without getting your food blown all over the place. They're usually in port or just leaving port, and they go very slow until after 9 or 10 o'clock. So we were eating outside. I think that the Italian place, we were in Jamaica. And so it was when we were in Jamaica, and we actually exited the port and just sort of started sailing around Jamaica really slowly. It was wonderful. And I'm like, oh, look, there's Montego Bay. So it was really pretty. Eating outside was amazing. That is a real coup that Norwegian has. And I would sail Norwegian again just to do that. Cause it's so nice. Yeah.
Was that the night, would you say that's the nicest restaurant?
Yeah, it's the white tablecloth and dress code and all of that. Yeah. And I didn't really realize that when I made the reservation, I just was looking for an opening. It was not very busy because it is expensive, which is funny because Ocean Blue was always sold out on the Getaway. People were clamoring for it. This one, I don't think has a celebrity chef. That one did. So, but the food was outstanding. The chef came by and talked to us. We had an amuse bouche to start our meal, you know, the classic sign of a good restaurant.
What is that?
An amuse-bouche.
Yeah.
So when they bring you, it means to tempt the taste. It's basically to tickle your mouth is what it is.
So
what
an appetizer.
It means.
You had an appetizer?
It's like a little,
it's like only one bite.
Yeah, it's like a little bite. In our case, it was sort of a tomato soup in a fried tomato soup. So basically it's the outside is crunchy, but when you bite into it, it like explodes in your mouth, which is a really common amuse-bouche kind of thing.
It's supposed to like wake up your tongue.
Yes.
I'm glad everyone else knows what this is.
Get you ready to eat. Yes.
It always feels like it's a little gift from the chef.
Yes. And it usually is. Yeah. It's not on the menu. Yeah.
It's like to amuse your mouth.
Yes.
To amuse your mouth, to wake it up from its boring day. And we're going to get other flavors. Be alive.
My favorite ones have been in restaurants where I wasn't expecting to get.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how they'll enter the building. This is from the chef for you.
Yes.
This is for
Well, my kids were super impressed with that. They had never seen such a thing. Which incidentally, that also means that Marcus was not listening when he told us what it was. And so he bit into it like it was a piece of candy and tomato soup went everywhere. So very amusing. Fortunately, the restaurant was pretty empty.
It's not so white anymore.
Yes. So it was actually, it looked more like a blood pellet from the movies, you know, So we all had a good laugh over that. But yeah, Marcus was like, I didn't know. So he said, well, it's important to listen when they bring you food.
Yeah.
Don't just throw it in your mouth without judgment, you know,
or just put the whole thing in your mouth.
Yeah.
That was the meat in the Brazilian steakhouse. Really good.
And you start off with
one of my favorite kinds of restaurants.
Yeah, and they had the coasters that you flip, the red. I mean, it was totally what you'd expect. But the a lot of the staff was actually from Brazil, and you know they were so they were very proud of what they were bringing out as well. And if you didn't take it, they would be a little hurt, which made me suffer a little bit.
Try it.
But they had there's an extensive buffet to start off, and the waiter is really funny. He came out, he said, "Make sure you eat some vegetables." Get some vegetables.
Run it like normal Brazil, where they bring you the cheap meats, the chicken.
No, it wasn't.
And then they bring the filet at the end.
Yeah, no. In fact, they brought the filet at the beginning, and they ask you how you like it, and then they tell you whether or not you chose correctly, and that you know it's great. It's on the skewers, and and every kind of meat: chicken, pork, lamb. Beef, both filet and then like a sirloin or something. Really excellent. And we ate outside for that one.
Sirloin and it seems like they have like every kind of beef, you know. It's like,
yeah.
There's a filet and there's a bacon wrap filet and there's a garlic filet.
Yeah, there was a bacon wrap filet as well, actually. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. So, it was really, really good. And by the end of the cruise, I was like, I'm not sure we're going to be up for this. And we didn't last very long. I think Marcus really wanted to go longer, but everybody else turned their coaster over. He's like, all right.
It's always that, like, that tween boy.
Somebody kept flipping the coaster back over.
Yeah.
They're like, I can do that. A lot of us pits, yeah. Man.
Well, and I told him, I was like, you know, it's already, it's paid for, just go ahead, eat what you want. But, you know, we also didn't want him sick that night, so, because he will.
One of the reasons that I like that option that they have it on a ship is because if you're traveling with a large group, either for business, you know, of associates or girlfriends or whatever, is that it's great for vegetarians and it's great for carnivores.
Yeah.
Because it's usually the salad bars are just incredible, with like asparagus and smoked salmon and, you know, all kinds of artichoke salads and, you know.
Yep, and there was at least one wedding on board, and I know that night there was a very large family taking over most of the restaurant. So that was actually part of the reason we got to sit outside, was they had almost the whole inside. Which they were having quite a party. I mean, it was great. It was a great place for them to hang out. So.
So I have one more question. We talked about the water park. What about the ropes course?
So I didn't do it. The kids did.
Chicken.
Yeah. It wasn't even that I was chicken. I was too lazy. I just wanted to sit on a lounge chair. There were two zips. One zipped across the ship and one zips across the water. But apparently you can chicken out before the water one. So Marcus did.
Mm-hmm.
But Athena did the whole thing. There are planks to walk out over, which Marcus did not do. But Athena did. They enjoyed it. They both said it was fun ropes course. It was funny because they didn't come back talking about it or like, wow, that was so great, you know? But, they were like, yeah, that was cool.
I did it in port on the getaway and there were children running all around me. They had no fear. I was like, okay, I'm going to walk the plane.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to do it on the getaway when we were out of New York. And first of all, it was freezing. I mean, it was like 30 degrees up there.
Oh, the breakaway?
It was the getaway when I first went on it. It was an inaugural.
Okay.
I got like two steps across the first rope bridge. I'm like, I can't do this. I had to go back. It was just...
Wasn't there snow on that?
There was snow on that ship, But it wasn't on the ropes course, but it was just really cold. But honestly, the problem for me is that shaking surface and I just didn't feel safe. Even with the harness and everything on, I just knew I was going to die.
So. You're tethered.
No, I knew I was going to die, so I prevented it from happening.
So did you go into the Haven?
I did.
Did you sneak up there?
No, we got invited to a cocktail party because I'm important. Yeah, it was nice. So we went to a cocktail party up there, which was nice because I got to show my kids. I've seen the Haven on other ships as part of a ship tour. I've never gotten to stay in it. And so I told them about it. It's funny. My daughter didn't really like it. She felt it was too she. She thought it was just too much. My son thought it was really cool. I love the pool. Just for the pool. pool alone with the lounge chairs in the mm-hmm. pool. It's just so quiet, and I really enjoy it. But yeah, we were there at night, so we couldn't swim or anything. We didn't really take. It was a cocktail party, so they were bringing drinks and hors d'oeuvres around. So I didn't partake in the restaurant or anything like that up there. But mm-hmm. a beautiful space, just like on the other Norwegian ships. And as somebody who was sailing, you never would have known it was there. I mean, I never like ran into it like, oh gosh, that's the Haven. I shouldn't go there. It's set apart in a way where you honestly would just like the bowling alley, you would never know it was there. I mean, unless you go looking for it, you would not know it was there. So we had no other reason to go past it other than that one time that we were invited, and then we never passed it again. So
is the pool kid friendly there?
In the Haven? Yeah, anybody who's in the Haven can use it. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know how peaceful it is during the day. But generally, I mean, you know, if people have their kids in the Haven, they're probably not in the Haven pool. They're probably actually out with the water slides and all that. I mean, kids are kids no matter what. So that pool would be really boring for anybody under the age of, say, 12. You know,
Yeah.
Other than the fact that they could actually get in the hot tub. I mean, that would be one reason to stay. And you know, we were there in winter, so there were times where the hot tub was welcome, although it was very warm, so.
Did you guys ever get room service in Norwegian?
No, we didn't. They actually charge for room service on Norwegian, so we didn't do it. The same food that's free everywhere else, they charge you to bring it to your room. So we didn't. We didn't. The kids asked, and I was like, nah. Yeah.
I think it's different if the menus are different. Like if there's something on there that you can't get.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if I could have ordered food that's served in the Haven restaurant, then yeah, maybe I would have tried it. But the cabins on Norwegian are fairly small, and then you put four people in it. That was another thing that if I had to complain about something, and this happened on Carnival as well. You know, we have four people in the room. When we really like to have a couch when we're not sleeping, and then we like to have beds when we are. Mm-hmm. And both on Carnival, we had a suite on Carnival, and once they turned that couch into a bed, they didn't turn it back. We always had basically the couch folded out. So, and I asked, and she said, it's too difficult. We won't change it back. Oh. It's too much work. Wow. I'm like, for a pull-out couch? I mean, maybe it does require a wrench or something. I don't know. But the same thing with, you know, we had a Pullman that came out of the ceiling, and once they put it down, it never went back up again. So, which I guess makes napping easier for us, but the beds were right in front of the closet. It takes up the whole, So the idea of eating in our room was really not appealing. We just had no room. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you had a balcony, right?
We did have a balcony, a fairly small one. It had a, you know, small space, but it wouldn't have been, you know, you really wouldn't have wanted to eat there. We would have basically had to like push all of mine and my daughter's makeup off the, you know, off the dresser thing in order to eat. Yeah. And that's a substantial amount of stuff alone.
Really? Did she wear that much?
And then the paperwork that we get all week, you know, I save it because it's mm-hmm. my job. So, you know, we have this big stack of paperwork and, mm-hmm. So No.
They didn't even deliver coffee to the room or anything like that?
There was a coffee maker in the room.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It was the kind that is in most hotels with a little pod. Not a Keurig, but the little round coffee filter. You know, your coffee is sewed up in the coffee filter. And it wasn't bad, actually. And then we bought bottled water. So, I could make it with bottled water. It was actually pretty tasty. I didn't have it every morning because it was so easy to go up on deck and get better coffee. But, you know.
I was going to say, it's so easy just to go. And then you have usually a better view because you're sitting out.
Well, and Norwegian is free and easy with the champagne, I'll tell you. I mean, maybe we just got lucky this time, but over the course of the week, we earned or won or were given 6 bottles of champagne.
Oh my God.
I brought 3 back. I drank 1 and 2 I just left there because I was like, we can't pack anymore. And we were about to have a New Year's Eve party, so I had a use for it. But 6 bottles of champagne.
Wow.
So one was a gift from Norwegian for being a travel agent. One was a gift for being a repeater on Norwegian. I'm a Silver Latitudes member. So we had one for that. Oh. So 2 right off the bat. I won 1 in the casino. We won 1 in trivia. And now I can't remember where the other one came from. So, yeah, basically everything you did.
Champagne in the casino.
I did one of the little coin games where you like put the coin in the slot and it pushes the coins forward and you get little tokens or whatever. And the tokens were a free bottle of champagne.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's how I actually won two. I won two in the casino, but I didn't cash one of them in. I actually have it. So whoever's sailing next on Norwegian, if you want to take it and see if you can cash it in.
Hey.
Yeah. So way more champagne than we could drink for sure.
See, if my husband had been there with you, I bet you'll
maybe. It's possible.
Sounds like a challenge. That is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and your feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, please visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Laura, Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!